name of God, Abba, Ima, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I have recently been learning about two fellows, reading a bit of their writings, much more to come. And one is named Bernardo Cufton, I think. And I forget the other guy's name because we moved this week and I just... He's really good, though. Someday I'll come across it again. These guys, stellar careers. This Bernardo created the first chip. Is that the language we'd use? Design chip for Microsoft? Okay, you know, and then the other friend as well. I don't recall what fantastic thing he's done, but the two of them came to a bit of a crisis or stifling in life. This fellow, at the age of 50, had everything. He knew it. Everybody else knew it. Everything, money, power, status, family, just everything that an American wants. He had it. And then he got depressed. Why should I, who have everything, get depressed? Painful. Deeply painful for him. And I forget the other spark that triggered Bernardo to begin looking beyond what had been his world, because the two of them had absolutely believed that the only thing in life that mattered is materialism. Not just the stuff of life, but the material is the only thing we have to work with. There's nothing else. Can you measure it? Can you see it? Can you taste it? Can you touch it? If you can't, it doesn't matter. It's just delusional stuff in your minds. And the two of them were brought independently, now they know each other, to study consciousness. My God! There's something beyond what we thought of as the totality of the material world. Deeply engaging themselves in this. Coming to understand that that's the most significant gift we have in this experience and expression of being human. Just this was enough to turn them, because they felt the need to go beyond. How do you convey the fragrance of a rose? Now, science can tell you the chemical composition, right? We can get all the stuff of what it's about, but it can never share. Have you been out in the garden? Do you remember your grandmother's favorite rose? Does it intrigue you with possibility about life could become sweet again? There's that option. And the two of them have come to this place. They've said publicly that AI will never, 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 never become conscious. It can't do it. It is great. John knows better than me. Isolated tasks, right? Focus, medicine, put it in the box. Fantastic! But we're using it to teach us what life should be about, aren't we? You know, you can get therapy online through AI, and it is literally killing people. Adolescents have been told to take their lives. Wow! That's how disconnected we are. But I'm telling you, friends, this is where spirituality begins. Thousands of years ago, mystics, spiritual people understood that it's the connection of life that this is all about, the harmony we long for, to taste the wholeness that we need to be human because we can't get it on our own. And that deep connectivity in religious circles is called soul. Soulfulness. And the soul is not inside of us. I know most of us were taught that. We are inside of the soul. It's the wholeness. It's that energetic field. It's the chi flow. It is that connection which, when we smell a rose, I'm part of something bigger. That's all it takes. Let alone seeing a friend or laughing with somebody, huh? Or having a mutual discovery. Oh, I thought life was over. That's speaking to the depths. We're invited in healing prayer to reconnect at the depths. We can't explain it. Can't talk it through. It's not going to make sense, but we sure can experience. And Lord knows, we need this desperately today. It's not only the times we're in. They are bad enough. There's no question about that. But what's happening to people in this congregation? What's happening to our family and friends and loved ones is now of a very severe nature. A doubt is filling us. The questioning of the validity of life itself. The moorings we had are shifting, are dissolving. As Yeats in that great poem says, the center is giving way. Where are we? What's going to happen to our kids and grandkids? It's not just that things are bad. Things are really tough. And most of us are struggling to put our own lives together now. We've seen ourselves as fairly competent for most of these decades. But it's not working the way it did. And we need to find new ways of living, of honoring our own lives, and living into that wholeness of community in which the church at its best has taught is a communion of solitudes. Isn't that brilliant? That the deep down truth each of us carries, the longing to be a genuine human being, however that expresses itself, is absolutely critical that we live from there, that we know it, that we know when we're faking ourselves. It's okay. We've got to live from there, but it has got to include the rest of the world, or it's pretty silly. And that's the American version. I changed who I am this week because I'm in Hollywood, and next week I'm going to be the superficiality beyond description. Nobody here buys it. Where's the truth? Huh? Where's the openness to experiment, to hesitate? That's the other great sin in the society. Go for it! I need to pause. I need time to absorb. I'm trying to understand. I don't know everything. This is not a project. This is a mystery. And we need each other. The stuff we're grappling with really matters. It really matters. Let it be. Let it be true inside of you, even if you don't know what to do. 3, 4, half a dozen things. Acknowledge them. That grappling is the place in which we're going to discover a new kind of blessing. It may not happen on our time schedule, that's for sure. But that grappling, letting it be, that's Jacob at the Jabbok, right? I won't let you go. I won't let you go. I won't let you go until you bless me. Right now, Charlene is saying, that's a hell of a message. Can you say that? There's nowhere else to go from where we are. We'd love to escape. Love it. Eventually, we just end up back here. Most of us know that. Okay. So Jesus tells the story so that we don't lose heart. That's the most dangerous thing. And that is the oppressive demand on all of us these days. Give up. Quit. Why bother? You're no good. Nobody needs you. Give up. Lose heart. When life just gets drained away, right? I'm going to share with you a reflection from Thomas Merton, which I think will blow your minds. This was written in the late 60s. Feels like it was written yesterday at the King's March, huh? In an age when totalitarianism has striven in every way to devaluate and degrade the human person, we hope it is right to demand a hearing for any and every same reaction in the opposite sphere that affirms the inalienable solitude and interior freedom of every human being. That person is worth more than the sum total of Silicon Valley. And if he's not allowed to live, why should we be allowed? The murderous din of our materialism cannot be allowed to silence the independent voices of those who will never cease to speak, and that own voice from within. The voices of those great Christian saints or Eastern sages like Lao Tzu or the Zen masters. We need to hear the voices of Kabir, Milarepa, Rabia, the voices of Thoreau or Martin Buber or Max Picard. It is all very well to insist that human beings are social creatures, social animals. That is true, but it is no justification for making us mere cogs in a totalitarian machine. Nor cogs in a religious machine either. That's what fundamentalism is. That's what evangelicalism, that is what institutional religion is. Because it's all about relationship with the whole, right? Anybody who tries to cut that off is not worth listening to? In actual fact, society depends for its existence on the inviolable personal solitude of each person. Society is not made up of mere numbers or mechanical units, but of persons. And to be a person implies responsibility and freedom and a certain interior solitude, a sense of personal integrity, a sense of one's own reality and of one's ability to give ourselves to society. When people are submerged in a mass of impersonal humanity, when people are pushed around by automatic forces, they lose their true humanity, their integrity, their ability to love, their capacity for self-determination. And when a society is made up of people who know no interior solitude, it can no longer be held together by love. In the end, that's what holds every society together. Love. Consequently, without love, every society becomes simply violent and abusive authorities trampling everyone. When humans are deprived, violently deprived, of their freedom, then the society becomes putrid. It festers with servility, resentment, and hate. This, then, is our desert, to live facing despair, but not to consent. It's a challenge now where we live, to live facing despair, but not to consent to it, to trample despair down underneath in light of and in hope of the cross. No amount of technological progress will cure hatred that eats away the vitals of a materialistic society like a spiritual cancer. The only cure, my friends, is spiritual. Not much use talking to people about God and love if they are not able to listen, and the ears with which we hear the message of the gospel are hidden in our hearts. And if these ears do not hear anything, they do not hear unless they have some solitude, some silence, some prayer. So, all will be enslaved without this listening from the heart, including God. God will be enslaved when we are submerged into the mass of automatons and lose the integrity who we are. Amen. The peace which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.